I'd like to begin by introducing myself. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Randy Wittorp. I am the oldest brother of Sam Wittorp, who is in high school, and Luke Wittorp, who is in college. Good morning. We'll begin with prayer. Dear bread of life, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we thank and praise you again this morning hour for the life-giving food for our souls that you have provided us in your sure and unfailing word. In your grace, keep us steadfast in our faith in that word, and in you, our blessed Lord and Savior. We pray in your holy name. Amen. The text we have for consideration this morning comes from John's Gospel, the 6th chapter. We begin at verse 24. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they also got into boats and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him." Then they said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." Therefore they said to him, "What sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Then they said to him, "Lord, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe." Dear fellow redeemed, where there is life, it is necessary to have that which will feed and sustain it. No sooner is a creature born into this world than it begins to make its wants and needs known. Each organism's body must be fed, and its life must be sustained. What is true in the animal kingdom is also true in the spiritual domain for us humans. The soul that is not properly fed will soon grow weak and die. It can no more live without daily nourishment than can our body. It is therefore that the Apostle Peter admonishes us, as he does in his first epistle, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." Your worship of God is the feeding of your soul. If you are worshiping him in spirit and in truth, your soul is being nourished and strengthened. If you are not worshiping him in spirit and in truth, you are starving your soul, feeding it mere husks. That you are feeding your soul something, whether you are aware of it or not. The question then becomes, are you eating of the perishing or of the living bread? Now first, what is perishing bread? The only person who never eats is a dead person. The only soul which never partakes of true spiritual food is a dead soul. And that person is a person who does not make use of the word of life and is therefore spiritually dead. Jesus has stated this very clearly when he said, He that is of God hears God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. But we are not today discussing the soul, which is so far separated from its Savior that it will not even make use of his precious word. No, we are concerned with such as have dealings with Jesus, but who nevertheless are not worshiping him in spirit and in truth. Who are the persons to whom Christ finds it necessary to address the words of our text today? Those people had come all the way from the eastern shore of Gennesaret in search of Jesus. And when they at last found him in the synagogue at Capernaum, they immediately asked him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Meaning, of course, how could he have gotten there without a vessel? They were actually seeking him then. And yet, Jesus rebuked them by telling them to not continue their search. It is possible, then, to seek Christ and still not seek him as he would be sought. It is possible to labor in his church and yet labor in vain. For he told them not to labor as they had been accustomed to laboring. Before we shall be able to eat of the bread of life, we must know the purpose, the one sole purpose for Christ's coming to earth. It was not to make this world a paradise for us, but instead to save our souls from the eternal horrors of hell. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil, we read in 1 John. And in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus says, "The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." It was that truth that many who were seeking Christ on that particular day of our text failed to understand, even though he, no doubt, had made it clear in his preaching in the wilderness the very day before. They came seeking signs. When they had wanted to make him their king the day before, it was because he had satisfied their physical hunger. And now, when they ask him to show greater signs, it is not because of concern over their sins that they were anxious to have assurance of salvation. No. And what did they get for their seeking? They got that which all had received to come in such a like spirit. They got a rebuke. To worship God is to feed your soul. And how do we worship him? By observing some outward ceremonies, or by going through certain prescribed rituals or prayers? Jesus says, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." The scripture says in 1 Samuel, "To obey is better than sacrifice." It was disobedience which was the cause of Israel's overthrow in the wilderness. They had eaten of God-given manna, had drunk of God-given water, but with many of them, God was not pleased. There is one thing you must leave behind when you are to worship the Lord, and that is worldliness. Jesus says, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Whether you are worshiping as did the Pharisees of old, to win the praise of men, or because you think that it pays to be considered a Christian, your worship is but mockery. You are feeding your soul perishing bread. If your Christianity is of that nature that you can live at peace with the sinful world around you, it is because you have no faith worth disturbing. The world may be very much interested in your worship so long as you do not touch any vital spot in its vanity. But let the truth be spoken concerning sin and righteousness, and it will still today, even as in Capernaum, turn its back upon the Savior. His is indeed a hard word. Who can hear him? But now let us consider the living bread. Now to begin with, many have made the error of mistaking the Savior's words here concerning his body and blood as an allusion to the sacrament of the altar. But that he cannot here mean such an eating and drinking, we learn from the 54th verse of this same chapter, where it states, "Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life." that cannot be said of all who partake of the sacraments, because some eat and drink damnation to themselves, according to Paul's letter to the Corinthians. No, you are eating of the living bread when you come to Jesus in faith. And who alone can come to Jesus in faith? All who, like Peter, must confess, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. There is none other. If we lose Christ, we lose all. Luther said, humility is the mother of all virtues. And it is this same truth reflected in Jesus' words in the well-known Beatitude, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Let sin become a living force in your consciousness. Let it touch your soul to the quick, and you will not be satisfied with anything short of the bread which is Jesus, the Christ of God, come down from heaven. You will want to know, how shall I be saved? And God be praised, the answer is at hand. Our Savior says, Him that cometh to me I will in no way cast out. In the Old Testament we read, The sparrow has found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Yes, you may be the lowliest and the greatest outcast among men, even as the sparrow is among birds. You may be helpless, unprotected, just as the fledgling swallows, but in the sanctuary of the Lord you are welcome. Your soul is as precious in His sight as is the soul of the greatest saint. His strength is made perfect in your weakness. If such is the spirit in which you come to the house of God, if such be the spirit in which you worship before your family altar, oh, blessed are you. You are eating of the bread of life. You are drinking of the water of life. Your soul shall live, shall grow, shall attain to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Amen. We close by singing the words of hymn 427, the first, third, and seventh stanzas. That's 1, 3, and 7.